I'll go to the deer.
She's not
here.
She's upstairs.
Hey.
Hara.
Right, yeah, her.
I wasn't calling Hara.
Oh, it sounded like it.
No, I was just asking how you were doing.
Oh. Hey. Yeah. The inflection.
Oh, my inflection was kind of iffy, huh?
Well, try it. What's the difference between how are you and Hara?
Hara is Hara. Hara.
Yeah.
That's who you call Mungi. Hara.
And how do you say, how are you?
Hara.
It sounds a lot like the same, except for two extra syllables.
Softer. Hara. Hara. Hara.
It sounds the same to me, but that's just me.
It's a harder. Hara. Hara.
Well, she's Hara. Now anyway.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, good evening.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm real well. Real well.
Good.
Quite relaxed.
Mm-hmm. So... okay, it's going to break 9,000.
But
it is. Uh-huh. Okay, let's look at the market here. Okay, let us address the market. Let us look at the stock market. And the reason for its rapid growth. Okay, let me see, how do I put this? Okay, the problems and the crises is in foreign markets in the Orient are part of the reason for the wild upward trend of the US stock market. The investors in European countries and Asian countries that were invested within those markets have pulled out their finances and are investing in the US market because, A, the political system is hogtied and the government is not doing what it's supposed to be doing, which is running the country. It's fighting amongst itself at the moment, trying to remove or indict or... yes, or indict its leader. And this internal bickering and fighting and namby-pamby manhandling and the upcoming elections and so on are part of the reason why the market is on its upward trend. This is not unusual, but due to the fact of the setup of the computer age, it makes it easier to track and move vast sums of money in a very short period of time, instead of cabling, sending, going to a financier, and so on, which is the way that it used to be done before communication was almost instantaneous. A good example is sending electronic mail over the internet. It takes a mere few seconds to send a message and to transfer large sums of money, because of the global network. This in itself is a two-edged sword. It makes things swift and easy, and it means also that negative things are swift and easy. You understand? Do you have any questions?
Well, with this ease of transfer of funds, doesn't that make it actually harder for people to control where the money is going?
In what way?
Well, I mean, it makes it right for theft, doesn't it?
Oh, yes. Yes, it does. And it does happen. But they have their own safeguards, they being the banks. You see, what actually happens is that when you transfer large sums of money, it actually doesn't leave the country, theoretically. Although the money is being transferred to buy stocks and stuff, right? It doesn't actually leave the country. It stays within the bank of that country that now owns those shares, which in turn sells it to the investor. And it all happens very, very quickly.
Right. That's just electronic money.
Mm-hmm. So what the banks are actually doing is using their reserves to buy, where the reserves are kept in the United States, those shares. And in turn, those shares are sold to the buyer through a broker, so that they're actually buying the shares in their own country, but overseas. And what is happening is that when they buy, the bank then goes with the money that they've put in and buys the exact same amount in currency. This stops theft. Or helps to prevent it. It's a very tricky and convoluted system, and it works extremely well, which is quite surprising, actually.
So, basically, fortunes are being made and broken every day, right?
Yes.
And all on the basis of electronic money.
Correct. So, it's the old adage of it's all paper. Right. It's all on paper.
Okay, so when you say that things go wrong very badly, that's due to the fact that people put in sell orders very quickly.
Mm-hmm, yes.
But now the safeguards are meant to keep that from happening.
Mm-hmm.
But at too fast a rate, it will still continue.
Correct. And the thing that is still confusing me is, why do they have these trading curves in? If they didn't have the trading curves in, we would have reached 9,000 a few weeks ago.
Well, it started out at what point?
What do you mean?
It went down at what point? It started up to the point it's at now.
Mm-hmm.
What point did it start at? 3,000?
7,500 was when it started the climb. But it was slow to start off with. It was very jagged and slow. And now, within the last few weeks, it's basically skyrocketed, which is entertaining the fact that it dovetails very closely with what is going on in the White House. And getting to the White House, it is funny to see that all these people are coming out now that the president is not in the country. And there was another mysterious death as well.
Who died this time?
I'm not quite sure. I only saw the reports briefly, but it was somebody that had dealings with Clinton. I think it was a owner of a car company, actually, or a place that sells cars, a car dealer owner, had a check for $20,000 for Whitewater, whatever it was, land management thingy, and he mysteriously died the other day.
Was he too old or something?
No, he died in a car crash.
A car crash?
Mm-hmm. Very mysterious. I don't think there's been any president that has so many people die around him mysteriously.
Well, Johnson did.
True, true. But I think the Clinton administration at least has twice as many.
Luckily, you have to count the Ron Brown accident.
Yes, the Ron Brown accident.
Which racked up a number of all at once.
I think it was like 19.
Yeah.
But you see what I'm saying? That there is something very odd going on with this administration.
I agree with that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you know why Clinton wears boxers? Keep his feet warm.
That's a good one.
Okay. Do you know what the new game is in the White House? Swallow the Leader. Don't like those jokes, do you? Yes, it is. And I'm getting tired of going over the same things. Dealing with the political setup, it's really a protocol and moral issue. Yeah, the lack of ethics, the lack of morals, and the lack of protocol. And it's something that's sad to see.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that sort of ties in with where the country's at right now.
Yeah, it does, unfortunately. It's a direct reflection of what is going on in the world. Now, yeah, I have...
some countries that, you know, actually honor that.
Mm-hmm.
France.
Yes. Now, changing the subject, I've sent my predictions in to be passed on to Amol, and Amol is going to pass them on to Ashtar, and it should be maybe a week, 2 weeks before I get the information back.
Okay.
In the meantime, I'm not going to say anything due to the fact that the speculations and lines of probability have to be analysed by Amol and Ashtar before I can say anything, as much as I would like to. I don't want to be a leak in the cabinet. So do you have any questions?
Yeah, a couple questions.
Okay.
Now, in reading things into where the country's at right now, where the world is at, there is a combination between the financial and the spiritual side of the world,
mm-hmm.
that is leading in a direction that points toward growth.
Mm-hmm.
While we know differently, is that still enough that people are going to follow through with that no matter what happens?
To a certain extent, yes. There is obviously much more growth in the spiritual nature, as can be seen by popular media, popular entertainment, and generally looking around, that the people that were once thought of as strange, bizarre, unusual are now being accepted more and more. It's more like a new religion or a revival of an old ancient religion.
Well, it sort of reminds me of the early 20s.
Mm-hmm. The revival of the spiritualism.
Correct. But at the same time, there was a financial growth going on,
mm-hmm.
that was sort of paralleling that at the same time.
Yes, very true, sir. Very true. Also, something that needs to be looked at is the end of the century symptoms. Normal things that occur at the end of centuries in growth in spiritualism, wild investment, careless abandonment, and what makes it even worse and heightened is the fact of the turn of the millennium as well. So not only do you have turn of the century, but you also have the millennium disease, where people think that the world is going to come to an end on the night of 2001. Well, as we've stated in the past, when there have been predictions coming up at the end of the world, oops, we missed it. We must have all been asleep. But
what happened in the earlier part of the 1890s, before we hit 1900?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, let's say 1898.
That's not the early part of the 1890s. That's the latter part of the 1890s.
But wasn't that more similar to what you could be called now?
Yes, in a way it was. It was very similar, apart from it wasn't so feverish and heightened due to the fact that you didn't have the millennialism going on as well.
True. That was just change of a century or a decade.
A century.
Mm-hmm. Right. But at the same time, they were going from a technological backwater to great changes technology-wise.
Well, at the time, they thought that they were reaching to the pinnacle of technology.
Right. I mean, at the time, I mean, you can labor-saving devices coming in all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Travel had become commonplace from coast to coast.
Yes.
Where just 50 years before, we were talking the Wild West.
Mm-hmm.
Communications were...
Again, almost instantaneous. A few minutes delay,
but not that much.
No.
Mail service was much, much better.
Mm-hmm. It still took about a week for it to go from one coast to the other, whereas now it takes a couple of days, or instantaneously with the communication device.
Right. Now, when we hit 1900, nothing happened really outrageous.
No.
But that was because there was no millennium involved.
That's correct.
So that's actually quite a nice time to be alive.
Mm-hmm. There's an opportunity right now for so much investment and advancement that it's ridiculous. Not necessarily in the stock markets, but in the fear of the turn of the century and the millennium. These people are... There's a lot of people out there that are afraid of the turn of the millennium.
What did Casey... Good stuff.
Casey? Mm-hmm. Wasn't in the 20s and 30s?
Back when spiritualism was still
going on. Mm-hmm.
So in essence, we're seeing kind of a parallel in the same time zone.
Yes.
Now, how does this affect our changing toward a higher dimensional view? I've read in the latest spiritual emergence, Ashtar Athena,
mm-hmm.
Being channeled through a lady, talking mm-hmm. about how humans on Earth need to, if they are going to move into the fifth dimensional Earth existence, they have to raise the auric vibrations, or they would move on to another school.
But again, it's, yeah. How things are worded and how people read into things.
Yeah, well, I mean, this fifth dimensional stuff really getting old. I mean, people have really got that so serious that it's almost the norm now.
Yes, it is, and it's irritating. The thing that I've noticed is that people, especially channelers, when they have the host body, you know, they use a medium that is easy for people to understand. For example, if, let's say, Kiri wanted to talk to a astral engineer, right? Would you understand what they were talking about? Do you remember? No, she didn't talk with, what's his name, the guy that had a debate with Amol and Corton. Yes, but I think that they would have sat there and discussed in great detail stuff that would be totally beyond you or I. Kiri would have probably got very annoyed with them very quickly.
Well, yeah, she doesn't have the kind of patience.
No, or Ash, or Corton. Hara. So, you see that, yeah, channelers use the linguistics that is necessary to get the point over. The fact that Ashtar Athena frequently uses the fifth dimension as a explanation is because everybody knows the fourth dimension is time.
Right. The fifth dimension is space.
Correct. But not so many people know that. That the fifth dimension is space. So,
still, I mean, how does that relate to our being able to move into it?
Because it is a name. Nothing more.
a pocket of rock group in the 60s.
What, Fifth Dimension? Well, in actual fact, it's the Sixth Dimension that she means, but she's saying the Fifth Dimension because it's easier to understand for the everyday person.
But that merely perpetuates the myth.
Correct. And if she was to sit down and every time she channeled and tried to explain that the fifth dimension is a workspace, here is how it works, and that you will be moving to the sixth dimension.
Well, it gets kind of old being the only ones who are actually pushing something like shit.
No, it's not. You just be very patient and explain that the name is irrelevant and the fact that what does matter is the spiritual growth, which everybody agrees on.
True.
Yeah, it is a popular misconception.
But, you know, I can't understand the part where she said that people who are not in their auric fifth-dimensional vibrations will not continue on this planet. They'll go on to a new school, and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm. Now, this channeler, that this host body, was it a conscious or trance channel?
Sure, if you want, I can go check real quick.
It's not.
Well, it's not the first time I've heard this, that there'll be a transcendence. You know, and there'll be an ascending to a higher level.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not there, well, too bad.
Yeah.
You're not going to make it. Earth is moving into its fifth dimensional unity.
Yeah.
Now, if she means the sixth dimensional unity, if we substitute sixth dimensional for fifth dimensional, okay, it still doesn't make sense.
It sounds like the host's emotions and feelings are getting in the way, that the host is either a partial trance or a conscious channel.
Well, let me get you the... I'm going to hold on for a second.
Okay.
Okay, here it is. All right. The consciousness grid for Earth's entrance into the new millennium will be fully established and activated by the year 2000. Each person who wishes to enter into the fifth-dimensional version of life on Earth must have a corresponding geometric patterns within their auric field. Those who are out of alignment with these keynotes will find themselves moving into another dimensional reality in school. Since 1998 is the year of peace, the people of Earth must do whatever it takes to establish a firm collective structure to ensure global peace.
Okay, now, is it a conscious or trance channel? That is the important thing. That's one of the things that you have to be careful of. That is something that we...
Well, that's why I wanted to grab the book. I'm paraphrasing to just silable at a stoplight.
But what we could do with the Hades-based news is debunk a lot of this stuff. But
this looks like we're just picking fights at some point.
Exactly. And Amol is very cautious not to do that.
It wastes time and energy.
That's right. But in a way, yes, we do debunking.
Well, true.
I mean, the whole entire Hale Bopp thing. We debunked that. We weren't, or you weren't quick enough to get it on the internet because you didn't see it as important. Hara.
Well, it didn't look important at the time.
No, but it was important.
But it turned out to be very important.
Mm-hmm. But it wouldn't have changed anything.
No. Of course not. Everyone's game was already set in motion.
Oh, yes. Much like this. Lim Chim or whoever that claims that last Wednesday God would appear on Channel 18. Well,
God didn't make it. Maybe it's tied up to something else. The Almighty has a lot of on schedule, I'm sure.
Oh, I know so.
But see, this is what I mean. People who have inflated opinions of themselves mm-hmm. and their ability. And basically perpetuate these myths that go out.
Yes, well, that's one of the things that we're trying to stop with when we advertise and ask for channelers, right? You know, we had the discussion that people would only get involved, and a few people that you researched would only get involved for what?
Well,
publicity and money, not for the common good and the spiritual growth.
Yeah, well, they have these abilities, and they see that this ability is being able to accomplish goals that they've set for themselves.
They see it as the goddess-given right to physical growth for themselves, when they would be much better served being much better serving of the people, and much more rewarded if they didn't worry about these fiscal rewards. Okay. Now, I've got to go and catch Joey. And we're going to send Joey down with a technician to the apartment.
Oh, down here. That'll be a trick.
Greetings, Russ. And how are you functioning?
Greetings, Omar. I'm doing quite well, actually.
Good, good, good.
You know, fairly humorous, actually.
Yes, I noticed he was also in a feisty, playful mood.
Yes, you were.
What transpired with the cats? I saw the host body start to move, and then the kittens scatter.
Well, it saw a mother cat, I guess, or something that they would consider to be a more commanding figure coming at him. Yeah, she does talk their language.
Yes.
So how are you this evening?
I am doing well. I am a little disappointed that Monka and Ashtar Athena are not present.
Well, they're probably busy doing the very original stuff.
Yes. It is something that even I have noticed, that higher than myself, the dimensional beings work on a totally different time scale. And as I believe Liam Needy's pointed out, that a second can seem like an eternity, and a year can seem like a moment, a flash of light.
Wouldn't also the fact that they are higher dimensional beings be teaching with their actions as well as their words? For example, teaching us patience?
Yes. Yes, very, very likely.
You know, and being able to understand, I suppose, have an openness of mind for those who, you know,
work on a different time scale.
Correct.
That is correct. That is what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to lead you to the correct conclusion without leading you too hard.
Right. Yeah, and I've seen this before, you know, especially with people like Samantha, where actions and are actually used more than phrases are.
Well, so, actions are a stronger learning tool.
Right.
On the higher dimensions, we can relay information in a nanosecond. The whole entire discussion that you had with Tia, and as far to this point with myself, I could relay to Corton, Sananda, Monka, Athena, anyone in a nanosecond.
But doesn't that, you have hundreds of thousands of years available, and if you're passing all stuff in nanoseconds, does that kind of make things tough to watch go by? Smelling the roses kind of thing?
What is Leonidi's explanation? I just gave it to you.
Right, be able to sit there and smell the rose.
No.
Earthy.
No.
Well, teaching by example.
A second can seem like an eternity.
Right. Oh, that's right. So a nanosecond seems like a hundred eternities.
No, a nanosecond is...
Or it's less than...
Correct.
Right. Hmm. Must be a higher etherealness to it that I don't quite comprehend.
Yes, it seems to be alluding you to the fact that, name for the recording tonight? Time management. As it seems to be a key issue that controlling and understanding that people work on different time scales, even on your planet. People look at things in different time ways.
True.
Tomorrow, I will take care of it tomorrow. I will take care of it next week. My investments will come in next year. In 10 years. In 50 years, I plan to be retired and 20 years is a long time. You are 38. My, that is a long time. All these things are time management. Looking at time in a different way. The structure of the thought processes is very linear. It is not third dimensional. I don't mean third dimensional as in your space, your reality. I mean as in seeing things in a third dimensional way and thinking in a third dimensional way.
Right. Well, being around you and the others of Hayden Space have given us a lot more sense of time in the fact that when we deal with things like Atlantis, or even your lifetime. Mm-hmm. We're looking back on history, big, huge chunks of history that can't even be conceived by just yesterday or the day before, and add on a million other days after before that to get to that point.
Yes, correct.
Take a look at it in one big chunk.
A good example on how three-dimensional thinking works into everyday life. Okay, my hand is yours to move. Tell me where to move it.
Move it to your chest.
Okay, tell me where to move it now.
On top of your other hand.
Yeah. Okay, it's moved across. Right. Okay, now move it again.
In the forehead.
Okay.
One more. Your left shoulder.
Okay. Now, how did you move everything from its original start point? You started off very promisingly. You moved it down to the chest, to the other hand, mm-hmm. to the left shoulder.
Forehead, left shoulder.
Forehead, left shoulder.
Right.
Now, what is all of that?
That is a linear movement of your hand.
That is all two-dimensional thinking.
Yeah.
Except for moving it down. Why not move it from here higher? Full extension of the arm. Hmm. Why not move it diagonally down to the shoulder? Move diagonally to above the pelvis.
Well, because I suppose I see it as the hand needing to be on certain parts of your body to give it a certain definite place of being.
Yes, but it is a two-dimensional thinking process.
Well, I see that now, yeah. Now that you point that out.
So everything is linear and two-dimensional in the thinking processes. Turning it into a third-dimensional thinking process is part of learning the management of time. The fact that timescales mean that thinking processes are different. For example, let us take a third dimensional being. You have just pointed out admirably that they think linearly and two dimensionally.
Sure.
If you were to ask Kiri, I am sure that Kiri would have a hand moving different heights and moving around at different angles and levels, which is three dimensional thinking. Kiri is older. Kiri has the knowledge of her Akashic records. Yeah. Kiri understands three-dimensional thinking. It is not just a third-dimensional thought pattern that limits the thinking processes. Individuals in a specific line of employment have to think in different ways. For example, take a pilot, a third-dimensional pilot. Mm-hmm. They are in a third-dimensional environment. If they go down, if they go up, if they go to the sides, it is all part of their thinking processes. And it is to do with their environment. Your environment, even though it is three-dimensional, is two-dimensional.
Yeah, based on linear experience.
Correct. You stand up, you are on a flat plane, you walk forward, you walk backwards, you walk from side to side. You are still dealing on a two-dimensional thought pattern. Experience and time changes that to going up, going down, going up diagonally, going down diagonally, and all the various different variations within that. If you were to draw a sphere around you, or create a sphere around you, and move that sphere through a three-dimensional world, and do with that sphere, with you in it, as you wish, then your thought processing would be limited to the experiences within that sphere and the movements there capable. It is like a glass of water. It does not think of anything else but being a glass of water and all the movements thereof. If you look at things on your planet, they are very two-dimensional in their avenues of movement, backwards, forwards, side to side, various angles thereof. But if you were to look at the bird has to think three-dimensionally, up, down, side to side, backwards and forwards. So the environment plays an important role within the experiences. And time, again, plays within that. Yes, feline, you wish to talk. Okay, you wish to run. So you see how the thought processes change with environmental factors. And the environmental factors also work with time.
Well, now you mentioned time, but time is a fourth-dimensional reality.
Mm-hmm.
And we're speaking on second- and third-dimensional realities. Where does the fourth-dimensional reality interact? And
because it is a linear action. One event follows another, going forward in a line.
But that's third-dimensional concepts of a fourth-dimensional reality.
Correct.
Which is presented in a two-dimensional reality.
Correct. So it dovetails in nicely.
True. So it depends on the dimensional reality you perceive things in determines the
yes.
dimensional reality that you are talking about.
That is correct. That, for me, I can look back in time. I can look forward in time. I can look to the sides.
Okay. Can we quickly just put a little emphasis on that part and how that's accomplished or what you see?
How do you mean? Looking to the sides?
Yeah.
Alternate realities.
Okay.
Alternate timelines. Alternate existences. Those are to the sides.
Okay.
If you remember when we discussed time a while back,
oh, yeah.
we explained it like a strand of string,
right.
intertwined with lots of other strands of string.
Yeah, it gives you a headache thinking about it.
Well, you may be. If you were to take all those strands and lay them out side to side, apart from the fact that it would go on indefinitely in either direction, you would be able to look to one side or the other side, to be connected and aware of those alternative existences, those alternative parallel universes running concurrently.
But the question is, and suppose this is a third-dimensional person talking about a two-dimensional reality, what difference does it make?
None whatsoever.
Ah, okay.
Well, you cannot move from one to another.
Well, that clears up that, because I was just wondering what purpose that could have for me. None whatsoever.
None whatsoever.
I understand the reality of it because you've explained it enough.
Yes.
But I never saw the purpose for needing that ability to see in those directions.
There really isn't a need to, except for the fact that some are ahead of others and some are behind of others.